Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, chapter 17. We'll start again from the beginning. We like to talk about the good kings when we get a hold of them. We mentioned briefly just what was happening with the tribe of Yehuda. And with the tribe of Yehuda, we had the death of Ahaz, who was the bad king, and his son, Chizkiyahu, was a righteous king. And we talked about the Gemara brings that when his father died, he dragged his father to the grave, the body to the grave, to show that he repudiated the deeds of his father. And he did unusual things, Chizkiyahu. Throughout his lifetime, he was a maverick, and he almost became the Mashiach, one of the most righteous kings that we ever had. But sometimes a person has to do unique things that no one ever thought of, and be willing to do dramatic types of things, to whether to shock the people or to break them out of what they were used to. And so we mentioned that he wanted to show people that the ways of his father were, his father had, normally the kings of Yehuda were more or less loyal. It was in the 10 tribes that the people had strayed. And Ahaz had imitated the ways of the 10 tribes, and if you remember, Chizkiyahu himself had been passed through the fire. Now, we don't know. We said his mother put the salamander oil on him, but which was some exotic animal that prevented him from dying. He may have been burned his whole life. He might have had scars or something from that. We don't know. But I can imagine that that didn't make him love his father's religion too much, you know, being passed through the fire. And having lived through that, he felt like he was destined to do something special, because it was miraculous that he survived being passed through the fire. We're going to learn more about him soon. Now we're going to go back to the 10 tribes, and it's really, this chapter is the end of the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes had spiraled away from Hashem. And we're going to see, kind of what had happened there. What's fascinating is that the greatest, one of the great sins which had started it all, was the 10 tribes had decided that they had it with the kings from the house of Solomon. And there's a great irony, the house of David, really, but they were upset at Solomon that the taxes were a little too high and he was married to the daughter of Pharaoh. And so the great irony is that they were more religious than Solomon. They felt that Solomon was too excessive. And what did they do? They went and they made their own religion, which was much less pious and much more excessive than that of Shlomo HaMelech. That was the irony of it. So they put up roadblocks to prevent the people from going to worship in the Beit HaMikdash. And we're going to see that when Sancheirav carried off the beginning of the 10 tribes into exile, he also carried away the golden calf. So without a golden calf, there was nowhere for them to worship. And we're going to see that Hosea took down the roadblock. But by this time, no one else wanted to go back. And it's the lesson there is very interesting, which is the part of the system was that whether we like it or not, three times a year, we have to celebrate the festivals. We have to go up. The mitzvah was literally to be Olah L'Regel, which was to make the pilgrimage up to Yerushalayim. And the reason was that people would become inspired by going there. And from time to time, sometimes somebody could get insulted, get upset with something that takes place in the place where they get inspiration from. We talked about that the sons of Eli, when they ran the Beis HaMikdash, they were a little insensitive. They were after the meat, and they didn't do the offerings of the of certain people that didn't have so much meat. They didn't take care of right away, and they turned people off to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's true. Sometimes a person can get turned off. They may not like the usher. It might be too cold. It might be too hot. Somebody didn't say good Shabbos to them, or they think they didn't say good Shabbos to them. But at the end, what happens is that if a person cuts themselves off from their inspiration, then they suffer. And this is really what happened with the 10 tribes. It's true they had certain maybe valid complaints about the kings of Yehuda. Maybe the taxes were too high. Maybe he shouldn't have married the daughter of Pharaoh. But in the end, they cut themselves off from the Beis HaMikdash, and things were a lot worse for themselves. And sometimes when we perceive a wrong, we take an action and we end up harming ourselves. And that's kind of the lesson of what happened over time with the 10 tribes. And so we'll see that here. Chapter 17, I'll go a little quickly in the beginning because it's a little bit of a review. He's the last king in the 10 tribes, and he was king in Shomron. That's, by the way, that when we talk about Samaria in Israel, you hear that term of Judea and Samaria often. Shomron was named was Sumeria. That's the area of that was the heartland where most of the 10 tribes were located, was in Shomron. And so he was the king in that area, Teshashanim, 9 years. So Yasa Rabbeinei Hashem. And it says he did evil in the house, in the eyes of Hashem. Rak, but over here it doesn't say the same terms of the Rak Loka Malka Yisrael Hashem. He wasn't as bad as the other kings. So the interesting thing was, there were a lot of bad kings. He was not as bad. But what happened was, he wasn't as bad, but the people were bad. And so during that time, it was decreed that they go into exile. So what happened? Oh, love, Shalmaneser, Melech Asher. Shalmaneser, the king of Asher, came, Yilo Hoshea Eved. So first, he was subservient to this king of Asher. The Yashav Lominska, and he had to pay him taxes. The Matze Melech Asher. It's interesting, they call the word taxes a present. Yeah, did you give your present to the government this year? Tax day is coming up, right? It's just a present. It's a nice way of saying, oh, you're honored to give me the present. Oh, sure, we'd love to give you the tax money or whatever. They had a nice way of putting it. So, Hoshea had a plot. He didn't want to have to pay these taxes. He didn't want to take away money from the kingdom and send it up to the king of Asher. So his thought was, to go into cahoots with Egypt. And together with Egypt, they'd be able to resist. Now, this is a theme throughout our history, that we've tried to make alliances with Egypt, and it's never worked. It's such an irony to our times, and no one can say that it's like Hashem is telling us that it'll never work, but you can never rely on Egypt. That's just the theme, I would say, maybe half a dozen times in history where Israel is next to Egypt, and Egypt was always a neighbor. And from time to time, the kings made treaties with Egypt, and Egypt never came to our aid. It just never helped. In the end, the treaty harmed us. It's just so interesting. I can't speak to the treaty now with Egypt. It's not the same people. It's not the same kings. It's just when you see the pattern throughout Tanakh of kings that they wanted to have Egypt come to their aid, and it would have been good for Egypt too. It just never worked. It just gives you pause when you think about it. So they sent messengers to Saul, Melech Mitzrayim, below. It's interesting, it doesn't say Paro, by the way. The pharaohs were a distinct group. Historically, we know that Egypt was overrun by foreign dynasties. And these other dynasties perhaps didn't preserve the calling of the king Pharaoh. So it's just interesting. Over here it says, Soya Melech Mitzrayim. He was the king of Egypt. It doesn't say he was the Paro. And so he made the deal, and they didn't send the taxes to the king of Asher B'shana. Now the king of Asher was a no-nonsense kind of king, so you don't pay the taxes. So he got Hoshea and he locked him up in prison. That's one way to get people to pay their taxes. Okay, verse 5, Yael Melech Asher B'kol Eretz, and he went over the whole land, Yael Shomron. Now he came up against the land. And he came up against the capital city, and in those days the cities were strengthened to withstand invading armies. They were able to lock the gates. But Yotzelash Elishadim, and he campaigned against it for 3 years. Now, when they tried to destroy Yerushalayim, and they made a siege, we have a lot of information about what it was like, that there was a big famine in the land and there were different things that were going on. Here we don't really know much. It just says there were 3 years, which is a pretty long time when you think about it, to be under siege. And Shomron was captured, and that was the end of it. The Jewish people were sent into captive to Asher, and these are the names of some of the cities, and we spoke about the debate in the Talmud and other places, what happened to the 10 tribes. There's one view that it's clear that some of the 10 tribes were brought back. In other words, there was a Jewish kingdom, and they were sent to live in exile amongst the Gentiles. As soon as they were able, some of them came back to their people, and they joined. So we do have a small mix of the 10 tribes amongst us. And in fact, the Gemara says that, for example, if a person loves the sea, if they just love to be around water, they love to, so that means that maybe they're from the tribe of Zvulun, you know, that loves to be on the sea. Or if they find that they, in other words, each tribe had its traditional, certain tribes were merchants, certain tribes were farmers, and so it says that it could be that it's in a person's, just his ancestry, that he from the tribe that he was in, and that we do have a mixture of the tribes with us, but in as a whole, we don't have the 10 tribes. So there's one view that they're out there somewhere, you know, that they're, and the interesting thing is today, there are people that research this, and they have found different peoples that may be descended from Jews.
They're Armenians?
Oh, really?
What did you say?
There's been a number of nations that have similarities to Jews, and it's amazing the articles they write. They find Hebrew names, and they find all kinds of traditions, and some people wanted to say the American Indians were descended from Jews that came out. People seem to want to make the case for the most that people said the Taliban were tribes. They said that they were Jewish tribes.
Mm-hmm.
There was some indication. They said it before the Taliban became infamous. But if you look at some of the madrasa, the Beit HaMedrash, mm-hmm. you know, like the a lot of things that they.
What was the name you said before?
They call their schools a madrasa.
Oh, okay.
And our schools were called the Beit HaMedrash, Medrash, and madrasa are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the case made for any number of these people that they may have been descended from Jews, and some of them certainly were. Now, what happened though, just because they have Jewish ancestry doesn't make them necessarily Jews. In some cases, our leaders have felt that it's a mitzvah to bring them back, if possible, and then in other cases it's not so clear. A lot of people like to claim that they have Jewish ancestry. It's a bonus, you know. If you're living in Africa and you're, you know, a lot of people just they feel an affinity towards the Bible and they want to claim that they are, you know, that they're the Jews and so it's a difficult question. Who really is of these tribes? What to do with them? One of our thoughts that we think about is what the Jewish people would look like if we had. You know, had all of these missing tribes, if they'll come back, when they'll come back. One of this Nahar Gozan, the Gemara says, is what's called the Sambatyon. There's a famous legend that it was a river called the Sambatyon river that flows 6 days of the week, and on Shabbos it doesn't flow. So there were many, in other words, it was impossible to cross because the only day it doesn't flow heavily is on Shabbos, and on Shabbos Jews don't travel. And so many people have looked for these kind of rivers which have different patterns of their flowing, you know, during the days of the week or that's the river Sambatyon. You may have heard that. There are a number of legends. It's just a painful subject that there's family that has gone lost. The only thing that could be said also, though, is that this is a pattern, too, of Jewish history. We talk about the Holocaust. There was a Holocaust in our time where millions of Jews were killed. There were millions of Russian Jews that were wiped out during the times of Stalin. There were Jews that were wiped out in the times of Spain. There were pogroms in the Cossacks. There was a Cossack War where they wiped out 1.5 million Jews. Khmelnytsky, I believe, was his name. Mm-hmm. Wicked. There
My
were
fathers from that town.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. You have to know how to pronounce all the. When the Jews left Egypt, the tradition has it that the majority perished. That there were a lot of Jews that just never left Egypt, and so the 10 tribes also. The fact that they've gone lost, in other words, there's a somehow a pattern that the that not every we're a nation of survivors. We're a nation of so I'm not pointing. I'm not saying that I understand it or I'm willing to, you know, give you the why of it. I'm just saying there is a pattern that it has happened before that not all of the people made it, and so over here, 10 of the tribes are lost. So the Navi here tries to explain it a little bit. Well, how could it be? How could it be that the Jewish people go low? What could they have done that was so terrible that certainly they were better than their neighbors, right? So that's what he wants to explain a little bit over here. Okay, verse 7. And it was when the sons of Israel sinned to Hashem their God. And again, this was personal. Here Hashem did so much for them, and Hashem Amalosam took us out of Egypt. And he took us away from the dictators, and it's almost like we're disloyal. Like a person that goes away from Hashem is disloyal. Like, how dare they? Like, we have such Hashem, and they worship these foreign gods. Now, not only that, the Jews followed, it's interesting, the Hebrew word over here is statutes. Statutes are things that have no reason or no logic. Like, there's some people, they say, oh, this isn't logical, I'm not going to do that. And what do? They do the Gentile things that make no sense. They'll do, in other words, with things people do have nothing to do with logic. You know, if people dye their hair green, they're going to dye their hair green. If they put holes in their tongue, they'll put holes. It has nothing to do with, people make fun of Orthodox Jews, oh, you follow these things, and you don't even know why. And then the same people will follow cultural things that there's no why for, that there's no explanation for. Well, that's just because it's the in thing. That's what everybody does. And it's just, that's, there's an irony to that. So what happened is they didn't follow the statutes of Hashem, and what do? They even followed the things that make no sense amongst the nation. And Hashem kicked them out so that we could come in because we would behave better. And the kings were guilty of it, even the leaders. And the Jewish people, they made up things. Some people talk about this. They made up their own religion. They made up their own ceremonies. There are people that are into, they believe that you can do whatever you want with your religion. Like, you can make up your own rules. And you read it in the Jewish newspapers every day. I mean, the basic idea of Reform Judaism is Judaism can be whatever you want it to be. In other words, if you want to Judaism to say this, well, it's constantly evolving, and so we are allowed to make it whatever theme we feel we want it to be. So if the theme is civil rights, then it's civil rights. If the theme is save the planet, then Judaism is save the planet. If the theme is because you can do things that are, you can make up whatever you want. You can create your own religion. And there's a danger to that. So we're going to see Chizkiyahu is very, he's a maverick. He does things no one ever did before, but they're not new, and he doesn't make up things. So there's room to be creative and do things that are new without doing things which are just fabricated. The Yivnu Hambamus, they made altars, the Kolaran Migdal Narutimani or Mifsar, Visu Lemet Sevas, and they made statues, Vasherim, called Giba, and every tree and every Takas Kolates Rana, and under, they all kinds of crazy things. There are, at one point, I think it's still very, the Jews are very prominent in the cults. It's very well known that the Jews were, at one point Jews were very into Eastern religions, that when Jews would take the pilgrimage to go to India, to the mountaintops, to learn about other religions, they'd run into people who were Jewish, you know, because who else but a Jew? Well, there's the idea that a Jewish soul is a seeker, that we seek out the divine. That's what we get from Abraham. Abraham Avinu had that spark to go against the grain and to not take what we see around us. And sometimes if they don't find it in Judaism, they'll look everywhere else for it. The Jews were the most fanatical communists. They turned in their own parents and their own rabbis. That's the kind of what it talks about over here. Every hill, every treetop had a getchko and it had an idol. The actor Shema called Bozga Goyim Meshehiglash Evinayim. And they worshipped the defeated gods. V'yas Dvorim Royim Lahakis Es Hashem. And they did some things in order to anger Hashem. V'yavda Golala Mashir Omelahem Lo Tasu Ata. They worship things that Hashem said not to. Now the word galal, the Hebrew word for galal, and they translate it as idols. It's a little more severe than that. The word galal in Hebrew is excrement. Yeah, no, in English they make it sound a little nicer. But these idols basically were the cardinal sins. They were places where people committed adultery, where they did murder. They murdered, they captured people and they murdered them to the idol. You know, they offered them. They called it offering them as sacrifices. They just don't tell you that they were murdering them, the people they offered as sacrifices. And they said that they had a service to the idol. What they meant was that they had a wild orgy. That's terrible sins that they were involved in the idols. And I pointed this out before, like, we're always skeptical because to us, idol is like, yeah, the Chinese restaurant, the guy with the big belly, it seems like very harmless. When the Europeans came to America and they found that the Indians worshipped idols, they had no qualms about wiping out the Indians because they felt that their religion was so brutal and so disgusting. Some of them felt that there was no hope for the Indians to ever reform them or change them because idolatry was just really a brutal, vicious, if you want to call it a religion, and just a terrible thing. Verse 13, V'yed Hashem, and Hashem warned us, Yisrael b'yad kol navi, and He sent the prophets, kohens and seers, lamer shuv midrash. Hashem didn't want this to happen. He warned us. He said, return to your ways. Roy v'shamar mitzvos kuchai kol Torah shir siyasa, and these are the things I commanded your father. Shalad b'yad avdei neviim. Hashem sent prophets. Verse 14. So what happened when we sent the prophets? Below shemay, we didn't listen. Not only didn't we listen, but Yakshah Sarfam Karf, it's like we turned our back to them. We were stubborn. We were stubborn necked. We had an interesting thing happen this year. We have a non kosher restaurant that went kosher, the Fungo Mungo, somebody there knows that. So I spoke to them a little bit once about what they noticed from when they went kosher with the customers. And he told me that most of their Gentile customers had no problem with it going kosher, but their former Jewish customers complained. They said, why do we got to eat this kosher meat? It's not as good. It's not the sirloin. It's a different cut, and it's more expensive. And he was like shocked. He thought, all right, the Jewish customers would say, oh, that's nice. You're kosher. Oh, good. Instead, they gave him the hardest time. Like it was, I guess it's almost predictable, but it's there's a certain stubbornness there that why'd you? But that's what he said. They turned their necks. They didn't believe in Hashem, their God. They amassed kukav, and they made the Hashem's rules disgusting. That's briso and a covenant. Asher karaso v'samba seido sab, and the testimonies. Passover has a lot of. We have different categories of mitzvahs, and some mitzvahs testify. So Passover is full of, matzah is testimony, maror is testimony, they testify that. Even those mitzvahs, they didn't do. They went after worthless things and they became worthless. That's a great phrase. Hevel means like hot air. They just went after things that were just silly. And they imitated the Gentiles. Hashem told us not to do that. 27. And they rejected mitzvah. It's almost like we get the message already, but it wants us to know that Hashem loves the Jewish people, and He didn't allow us to be exiled for no reason. It was only when the people had totally abandoned the Hashem that they did this. Now here it mentions the religion of the 10 tribes, which were these golden calves. The Yasa Maseka Shnei Golden, they made these two golden calves. The Yasa Sheira, they made the trees. That's, by the way, also one of the reasons in America people see the tree as a nice, cute custom. Like people that are even not religious, they have Christmas trees, the Jewish ones too, because it seems like such a nice thing. But when you learn our history and the trees that they made and the idolatry, you understand a little bit why it's so to us the idea of a Jew having a tree. These trees. We learned our lesson with trees. It's like a golden calf. Like how do you bring that into a Jewish place? But Yasser Sher, they made the tree and they bowed down to the stars. We have this above and they worshipped above. Verse 17. By Vius Benayim Vesnosayim Beish. And they took their sons and their daughters and they put them through the fire. Because we could summon them, and they did witchcraft and hocus pocus, being actually smoke with lasa sarah. When it says an interesting term over here in 17, it says they sold themselves to do evil. When you sell yourself, it's like not only did they do evil, but they committed to it. They made a long term commitment, like a ball player, like he signs a contract with the team. So the people, they like sign contracts to make themselves bad. See, sometimes a person does something wrong. Okay, they could go, they don't have to. They could discontinue. They could stop. They could turn back. But over here, these smacher, they like made a deal. They sold themselves to do bad, and they did it in order to anger Hashem. The son of Hashem and Hashem finally got angry. You see him out upon him. He threw him out, away from his face. Now the land of Israel is Hashem's face. That's in front of Hashem. That's Hashem's direct presence. Hashem said, "I don't want to see you anymore." Lo nishar rak shevet Yehuda levado. The only one left is the tribe of Yehuda, and that's, by the way, how we get the name Jews, because we're from Judah. The vast majority of us are Jews from Judah. So this is as far as the 10 tribes. Now, what about the rest of us? Were we perfect? So that we always have to know. That's really the lesson of the Haggadah. We never brag. We always realize that we also make mistakes. Yehuda also. Now, it's very interesting. Yehuda never imitated the nations, but they imitated the Jewish idols. So you have people like that, like the there are certain movements in Judaism that imitate other religions. And then there are movements in that won't imitate other religions, but they'll imitate other movements of Judaism. So if the Reform are doing it, maybe we should do it. They won't tell you, well, in the church they have an organ, so we should get an organ. They'll tell you, well, in the Reform temple they have an organ, so maybe we should have an organ. You know, it's like because once Jews are doing it, it becomes like a religious thing. And that's what happened with Yehuda. Yehuda had a certain loyalty to only do Jewish things, but if there was a Jewish idol, they wanted to do v'yelchabachuchas Yisrael. The Yehuda imitated the 10 tribes. Verse 20, Yimas Hashem b'kol zera Yisrael. And Hashem had a yan of eaten and beatcher. Hashem gave us over into the hands of our enemies. Adashe shlichem upon until we were thrown away. Kikaru Yisrael me'al beis David, because they had torn themselves away from the house of David. David was the one leadership. David's leadership represented that when you make a mistake, you can do teshuva, you can come back, and when you fall down, you pick yourself up. And as long as we had the leadership of David, there was hope that we would come back. You know, there always be ups and downs. But if you have that spark of David in you, you know, in Tehillim and other places, you can come back, you can fix it, you can dust yourself off. But once they pulled themselves away from the house of David, there was no hope for them. And who did they put? They put Yeravim. And instead of the job of a king to bring the people to Hashem, Yeravim, who at first claimed to be more religious than Shlomo, he pulled the people away from Hashem, and they did a big hate. Now, you're right over here, it uses that word chet, which means that they didn't intend it that way, so that's what happened. Verse 23, and the Jewish people followed that, Lord, they didn't turn away from it. 23, and the Jewish people was sent out, and they were sent to Usher Ad Hayom Hazeh. This was written like 150 years later. As a whole, the Jewish people hadn't come back. Yes. Now it gets worse, and that is that person's banished away. So sooner or later, you could do tshuva, you could come back. But what about if someone takes your place? If someone takes your place, then it's much harder to come back, and that's what happened over here, and that's the next tragedy. And to some degree, all the problems we have in the Middle East with the Arabs are that they took our place. They were in our land. In other words, all the problems are because they not only were we banished, but someone else is there. And so when we came back to reclaim our land and redeem the land of Israel, these other people were there. And so this is the pattern that happened here as well. 24, Yavo Melech Asher, Ve'avo, Makusa, Umuza, Machmas, these are cities, Ve'yeshibari, Shomran, Tachas, B'nai Yisrael. So what he did was he brought other peoples into the land of Israel. The primary place, the first one mentioned is, let's start that again, in verse 24, he brought people from the king of Asher. What his habit was that local people revolt against the king. So what he would do is when he would conquer a nation, he did shuffleboard. He switched one nation from one place and he put them to another place. Because when a person isn't in their home territory, they aren't able to revolt because they don't know the lay of the land. They aren't as they'll just disappear eventually if they're in a different land. And so this is one of the reasons, by the way, that we no longer know the nations anymore. So, for example, an Egyptian is not allowed to convert. That's one of the rules in the Torah until three generations. Today, if an Egyptian comes to us and wants to convert, he doesn't have to wait three generations because the Egyptians that are in Egypt are not the original people that were there at the time of the Exodus. All tour guides aside. And the Moabites and the Ammonites and all the other surrounding nations, his habit was to relocate all the peoples so that nobody was in their homeland. If nobody was in their homeland, then they wouldn't rebel against you. And that was a practice of the ancients. And that's what he did over here. But what I wanted to show you, the first place that the people came was Cusa. So in Hebrew today, we call the Samaritans, we call them Cusim. That's because they came from Cus, the Cusim. Umekusa, that's from the word Cus, which was an African kind of place. So the Samaritans are originally from this place in Africa. Tachas b'nei Yusha, Shomron, and they lived in Samaria, v'yeshiva Rehab. Now, we're going to see that the Samaritans were they were settled in the land. And by the way, this happened in the Holocaust also, that when the Nazis wiped out the Jewish community and sent the Jews to the ghettos, the Poles were very happy to take over the Jewish houses. And so then after the war, when the survivors came back, they weren't real happy to see them. And in many cases, they were pogroms, and they killed the survivors who were trying to come back, and there were Gentiles living in their homes. And so those Gentiles didn't really want those survivors back, because they'd have to give up all their homes. And that's what happened over here. And when these peoples were settled in the land of Israel, they weren't happy to see Jews. And they became our enemy. And what happened is, in the time of the New Testament, Yashka became was not accepted by Jews for many reasons. The Jewish people became his enemy. So he looked for an ally with other people that didn't like the Jews. And so he made an alliance with the Samaritans. So in the New Testament, they talk about good Samaritans. But the Samaritans were horrible. There was a big anti-Semite. They were terrible. But in his book, they were good because they joined him in his alliance against the Jews. And so it's just a funny quirk. You know, when you say the word good Samaritan, that's because the New Testament wanted to make them into heroes, because they were the only ones that would join Yashka to badmouth the rabbis and the Jews, and so to speak. So, but let's learn about the people. We'll see initially that there wasn't... it's interesting what happened to them. So let's see. Now, these nations that were brought in, they didn't know anything about God. Hashem made a plague of lions. It's very unusual that there are lions in the Middle East, but Hashem brought lions at that time. And the lions were killing many of the Samaritans. So they petitioned the king, and they said, the God of the land isn't happy with us, and we don't know how to serve him. So teach us about the God of the land of Israel, so that we can serve him, so he won't be angry with us and won't send any lions. But Yishu Bamasi sending lion, he missed in the killing us. Kasher Enim Yonis, Mishvitei Elohei Oretz. We don't know how to serve this God. So that was the message they sent to the king of Assyria. 27, Yisab Melech Asher Lehmor, and the king of Assyria commanded Alika Shama Achame Kohanim. Now over here was an interesting thing happened. So he sent for the sages, and the sages were hoping that now that the Gentiles that were sent to the land of Israel couldn't live there, he'd say, I guess I have no choice but to bring the Jews back. That's what they were hoping. So they told the king, you know what the problem is that those people, they don't have a bris, and they don't keep the Torah, and so there's no choice but to send us home. And instead, what he said, you know what, I got a better idea. Why don't you teach them the religion, and you stay here? And that's what happened. Unfortunately, it didn't work. And so he took Echad Kohanim Ashaglisa Misham. He took one of the priests, V'yelko V'yeshu Sham, and they taught these non-Jews the laws of the Torah. Misha Heretz, V'yavu Echad Mekohan Ashagim Misham V'yeshu V'yzel, V'yimor Osa, V'yich Yiru Es Hashem. He taught them how to fear Hashem, how to serve Hashem. 29, V'yasem Goy Goy Elohav. Now, what did the... these Samaritans were a mix of different pagans, and each one, they still had their idols. They still had their home idol. The way they viewed it was they would serve the God of the lands, and they would keep worshiping their previous idols. So what they did was, is they put their idols on their bamas, Asherasu, Asheronim, Goy, Goy, Bareyam, Asherhem, Yoshim, Sham. 30. Vanche Babel Asa Sukos, Spinos, Vanche Kus, Asuas Nergo. These are the names of the idols. If you study archaeology, they actually found these idols. Like, you can see pictures of them, the cat god, and the, there's one, the Nergo god, and the Vanche Chambos Asa. These are the mention of different cults of the idols. 31. Vivimosu Nivka, and Vesnartek, and Therm, and Therm, and Therm, and Bay, used to burn their kids, Vanemela, and Sofrim, Vivirain, Mes Hashem. And the new people, they did a mix of both religions. They feared Hashem because they literally feared Hashem because they worshipped God because they were afraid of the lions. They asked them Mixosim Kohanim, and they made priests, Vosim Lem the Beis Bamos, but they still served their idols. 33. As Hashem Hayurayim, they feared Hashem. That's the way am I Ovdim, but they also worshipped the idols. Commission Goy Mishosa Misham. So they were like half and half. This created a lot of confusion because now there were two kinds of Jews. There were the authentic Jews, and then there were the replacement Jews called the Samaritans that were part Jewish. The Gemara mentions that there were debates for dozens of years about whether or not they were really Jewish, whether they had adopted Judaism. It was not always so clear. Some of them had adopted Judaism, and you say, well, they worshipped idols. Well, the Jews also worshipped idols a little bit. I mean, that wasn't so strange. You have that where sometimes the non-Jews want to convert and they say, well, I'm just as religious as the Jews themselves, right? And so that was their argument. And there was a debate for some time whether we could accept them, under what terms could we accept them. Eventually, though, it became clear that they only were worshipping the Torah because they were afraid of the lions. That's not a reason to, Judaism has to come from love, not because you're afraid of the lions. And so eventually they were not accepted. One of the things was they made matzah, for example. They had a matzah factory. And so the question was, can you buy matzah from the Kusim? Was it kosher? And the Gemara mentions that those things that the Kusim kept, they were even more careful than we are. So that if you bought matzah kusi, it could be that it was kosher. And so that was just a... there is some remnant today of the Samaritans. There's some remnant of them in the land of Israel. Occasionally you run into them in America too, people that are descended from the Samaritans. Most of them have, now that the land of Israel is there, they've assimilated into the land of Israel, many of them. But they're trying to keep it going for tourist reasons. Because when you travel in Israel this way, there are certain sites that were Samaritan synagogues and Samaritan temples, and so the existing Samaritans want to keep it going so they can cash in on the copyright of the Samaritan name or the. But it's long; it no longer exists in a large form. In other words, if you want to go and see the vibrant Samaritan community, it doesn't exist. It's like a tiny, it's almost like the little Indian communities where the Indians run the museums, you know, where they put on a headdress and that's kind of what's going on with the Samaritans. But this is what happened over here, verse 34. They're not descendants of the Bnei Yaakov, who was called Yisrael. 35. And the request Hashem Yitem Bris is made, but lo siru Elohim Acherim, Hashem made a covenant with us not to worship these gods and not to bow down. Lo sav den lo sin, and don't worship them. 20. Ki'im es Hashem Asher Laskam, but the God that took us out of Koya God with a strong arm. But it's Royan 2 Adetiru, Velo Tishvach, only Hashem you bow down. Hashem is exclusive. In other words, we worship Hashem, doesn't allow us to attend other religions. And by the way, some people aren't aware of this. We really avoid going into churches and viewing other religions, and sometimes when you go on these traveling, you run into that. It's really there are halakhic issues because Hashem is jealous. He only wants us to serve Him. He doesn't really want us to go into these other places and just do the rites, so to speak. It's not our way. You got to keep the statue. That's what call Yam Lo Siru Him, and don't be afraid of these other gods. We have nothing to fear from them. 38. Don't forget the covenant. Don't fear them. 39. Hashem, your God, you should fear. And He will save you from all your enemies. But even with the warnings, they didn't listen. That's the same. Instead, the Jews went and they worshiped these gods. They opened the God name, Neyam, Akasher, Osa, Mosim, Hey, Mosim, Ada, Yom Azeb. And so the 10 tribes, with all the warnings, now, what? Just want to mention here that the tribe of Judah also got all the warnings and also strayed. But when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, it was a shock. And the same Jews that didn't worship Hashem in the land of Israel then became pious, and they turned back to Hashem. And so the exile, in certain ways, was good for us. In other words, with the destruction of the temple, it did bring us back. So the question was, well, why did that happen with the 10 tribes? Because even after their land, even after the 10 tribes were sent into exile, they didn't say, oh, this was because of our sins, maybe we should turn to Hashem. Instead, they continued on in their ways. And so that's what it's trying to explain here. We also, the tribe of Yehuda also had to go through an exile, but when we went through the exile, we realized it was because of our sins, and there was a great tshuva movement where people came back and they ended up serving Hashem. Okay. Chapter 18.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.